Amen. If you want to see God's power, then you have to be willing to step out. And there are stories after stories in the scripture of people who were not afraid to step out. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word today, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you open up our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is present today. God, I know that you are speaking to each one, and you brought them here for purpose. So, Lord, accomplish your will in Jesus' name. And the church said, yes, Lord. Can you say yes, Lord? Hallelujah. Okay, so this message deals with the very core of what it means to be a Christian. You know, the Bible's full of individuals and groups of people who did incredible things, not because of the strength that they had inside themselves. It wasn't on their own strength and ability, but it was because of their great faith in God. Because God is able to do the impossible. Is that right? What is impossible with man, God is able to do. So the faith I'm talking about is displayed when we step out in trust before the miracle takes place. We begin to declare that miracle. We begin to pray for that miracle because it's the will of God to help us and strengthen us and get us out of situations, right? It means that we keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of the storm. It's easy to get distracted. Have you gotten distracted this week? Oh, yeah, it's very easy in our culture to get distracted. However, keep your eyes on Jesus. It means that we are willing to follow God without fully knowing where it's going to take us. Someone say amen. And it means living for God, even if it costs something or maybe everything. And we see this over and over in the scripture. So for the next few weeks, we're going to explore some historical accounts of extraordinary faith within the scripture. And so in order to begin this series on faith and trust, it'd be helpful to define what we mean by faith. And so having faith in God is really a simple concept. And it really just simply means that which you believe. You have faith for that which you believe. And faith and trust always go together. There are many different ways to talk about this aspect of our relationship with God, but there is a passage in the scripture that captures it, and we're going to read that passage together in Hebrews 11:1. The scripture says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in another translation, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So the author of Hebrews says, faith is an assurance about what or who is trustworthy. What do you have faith in? When we have faith in Jesus Christ, we're placing all of our belief and all of our hope and all of our trust in someone we have never seen, in someone that we cannot touch or feel physically. Yet we hold this deep conviction that the Spirit of God is worthy of our confidence, that we trust in something that we cannot see. We trust in the great salvation that Jesus did for us. We trust in the finished work of the cross and all that Jesus accomplished in that. We have faith in Jesus Christ because we can trust him. He's faithful. He always keeps his promises. So sometimes it helps just to demonstrate what we mean by faith of the unseen. Having faith in something we cannot see. And I had asked Gabe and Madeline if they would come and demonstrate this kind of faith in the Bible and what it looks like. And they're going to do a trust fall. Have you ever seen a trust fall in front of everyone? And maybe Madeline backed out. Are you taking Connor? you'd rather catch Madeline. But what Madeline's going to do is she's going to stand with her back to her dad. And I'm assuming he's going to count. I don't know how they practice. But she's going to fall and trust that he's going to catch her. She can't see it, but she's going to believe he's there. So, you guys can take over. All right, give him a hand. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been made
so that's a perfect demonstration of trusting your Heavenly Father. Sometimes you get in life situations and you feel like you're free falling and you really don't know where you're going to land. But to have faith and trust that the Lord God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, is going to catch you. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. So when we have true faith, it incorporates belief and an action. Madeline believed that her dad had her best interest in mind, and that although he likes to mess with with the kids and tease them a little bit, we knew that he would keep her safe. Is that right? We had that confidence that Dad was going to keep her safe. So she proved her faith by being willing to take the fall. She took action. And that is true faith. It's an assurance and a conviction of things hoped for and yet unseen. So full of faith and power. We see the story of Stephen. Does anyone know the story of Stephen? Yes, he did great signs and miracles and wonders in Acts 6:8. Let's read it together. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We become witnesses of God's power when we're full of faith. Stephen's message collided with the culture. They didn't like what he had to say. But that didn't keep him from sharing. And because of his obedience to the Lord, great wonders and miracles happened among the people. And you know, they ended up stoning Stephen and killing him. But the message that he brought is eternal. And the work that God did in people's lives through Stephen was eternal. Stephen went on to be with the Lord in glory. He saw Jesus as they were stoning him. But he had faith and confidence in the Lord that even if man would take his life, it is worth sharing the gospel and demonstrating and praying for people so that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Because our life really doesn't matter. What matters is that we're doing God's will. And he's going to take care of us. However it turns out. Tell your neighbor however it turns out. So if we want to see God's power in our life, we've got to be willing to step out. We've got to be willing to go against the culture. We're colliding with culture on beliefs. And you see it more and more every day. But anyway, let's get on with our lesson. We're just getting warmed up. Steps of faith. So once again, the scripture is full of stories of great faith, extraordinary faith, God-sized faith, whatever you want to call it. But it is the faith that we want to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us that when Moses rescued the people of Israel after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, that they went on a journey. And It's in the book of Genesis and Numbers. It's called the Exodus. And the location that they were heading for is the Promised Land. Have you ever watched the Ten Commandments? Yeah, so you know that these all of these people were on this journey in the wilderness, and Moses was leading them, and they were headed for the Promised Land, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was a symbol of God's blessing and his rest. And they called it the Canaan Land. And my maiden name is Canaan, and my mom always had a big sign out front on her porch. Somebody made it for, "Welcome to Canaan Land, the land of milk and honey." And that made me think of that. The problem that the children of Israel had was, yeah, God had made them a promise. But right now, Canaan was inhabited with giants. And that put great fear in their hearts. And so in order for them to take the land of Canaan, they were going to have to exercise extraordinary faith in God and what he was asking them to do. So the book of Joshua begins with a new leader, and his name was Joshua. And he was getting people ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Their future was uncertain, and the way was dangerous. However, God gives the people clear instructions so that they can take that step of faith. And that's what we're going to read about this morning in Joshua 3, 1 through 6. And if you'd like to, you can read it with me. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from its Shittim. Shittim, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? The right enunciation is Shittim. And went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Verses 4 through 6. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And 2,000 cubits is about a half a mile. They were to be about a half a mile. So Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. So they were camped along that Jordan River. And at that time, the Jordan River was at a flood state. And they had to move the priests had to move the ark, and they had to get across this flooded river. There weren't any bridges for them to go over on. And so this ark was very significant to the Jewish people because they believed that it housed the physical presence of God. And God gave them instructions because God wanted them to stay in step with him. When God gives us instructions in his word, it's because he wants us to stay in step with him. We are to walk by the Spirit. And so the word is spirit and it's life. And so when we read the word, we understand the word, it becomes life to us. And when we follow it, we can stay in step with the Lord. And that's the best place to be. Tell your neighbor that's the best place to be. And God desires obedience from his people. And when you're obedient, your faithfulness will result in him showing power and might in your presence. And that is what God did. That's what testimonies are. That Jesus Christ, Gabe's testimony this morning, how the Lord has brought them through many situations. You don't get here without going through many situations and circumstances and trials and tests and learning. It's all a part of learning how to be more like Jesus. And God is building us. He's strengthening us. Every time we go through a test, it isn't to harm us or defeat us or to cut us off. It is to strengthen us. Either we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, or it's just something you need to learn. Have you learned a few things since you were born? And some of the situations, some of the lessons that you learned, you really didn't want to take. I mean, you didn't want to do it, right? Is that true? They make you take a lot of courses in school, and I hear kids so often say, I'm never going to use geometry. I'm never going to use algebra. But it's something that it's good for your brain. Tell your neighbor it's good for your brain. It helps you. You don't know. You know, when you were in the eighth grade, you really didn't know what your course of life was going to be. Did you? Did you always know what you were going to do? Doesn't it just kind of unfold as we obey God and as we journey with Him and we walk through life? So many times people say, I'm in an occupation that I never dreamt I would be in. But because of circumstances and because of desire that God puts in our heart, we begin to follow the path that God has for us. And that is the most successful place to be. It doesn't mean that you're going to make a lot of money, but it means that you have peace in your soul. And peace in your soul you cannot buy. Tell somebody you can't buy that. You can't buy that. Only God can give us that as we follow Him. And as I was reading this story, I was thinking about on September 21st when the Lord spoke to me, he said He moves through obedient people who have surrendered their all. He doesn't look at how many people there are, but He moves through those who are surrendered to His will. And what we need to recognize as we take these steps of faith, that if we're disobedient, we can limit God's work in our life. God wants to work. He wants to work, but we have to cooperate with Him. And so if we're disobedient, knowingly, we'll limit God's work in our life. Sometimes we're disobedient, not because we knew it, but as we learn and grow, it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't say that. I probably shouldn't do that. And I shouldn't really talk back to my teachers. I need to do what God has asked me to do and be a witness of Him. So we're in training for reigning. Tell someone we're in training for reigning. And I read a story about Arabian horses, and I really admire people who have horses, train horses, work with them. They're such beautiful creatures. And we have on staff Roxanne, and Roxanne has horses, and she's always telling me these horse stories. And so I'm always interested in that. Never had a desire to do that, but I really admire people who do because they're such big, awesome creatures. But I was reading a story about Arabian horses, and I didn't realize that they go through rigorous training in the deserts in the Middle East. And the trainers require absolute obedience from the horses. And they test them to see if they are completely trained. And the final test is like beyond the endurance of any living creature, because the trainers force the horses to go without water for many days. It didn't say how many days, but it just said many days. And then they turn them loose and they start running toward the water. However, just as they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle, and the horse is trained to respond to the whistle of the trainer, and they stop if they're completely obedient. And they turn around and they go back to the trainer. They stand there waiting for the command so that they can go and drink water. And then he'll give them the signal to go back and to drink the water. But that is amazing training. When a horse is completely obedient to its trainer, that it would stop right there. Something it needed to survive, really was desiring that, but stopped because the trainer blew the whistle. Amazing story. And it's a good example for us that in order to see God move powerfully in our lives, we have to follow his lead. We need to hear his voice. We need to understand what is going on. And I have found in my own life that the power of God is at work in my own life in a greater capacity when I am in communion with God. Has anybody else discovered that? When you're in communion with God and you feel him close, you know he's right there. And the word is like quick in your mind. And situations come up, problems come up. But the Lord begins to speak to you and you know how to follow him. He's teaching us how to follow him. Tell someone he's the leader. So in this story of faith, God wants to show his people they can trust him. And that he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. As well as trust the instructions of their leader, Joshua. Because God wanted the children of Israel to see Joshua in the same light as they saw Moses. And the first thing that God wanted to do was split the Jordan River for Joshua, just as he split the Red Sea for Moses. So this is a crucial verse, this next one. We're going to read 7 through 9. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Let's read on. "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe." Let's go on. "And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its water flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them." Verses 15 and 16. "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah," that is the Dead Sea, "was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho." So speaking through Joshua, God gives the priests their instructions for what they must do in order for God's people to enter into the promised land of Canaan. And they were to take the Ark of the Covenant and to enter into the river. And the instruction is already a test of their faith because the passage tells us that the Jordan River was at flood stage. However, Joshua knew that if the people were willing to trust God to make a way through the Jordan, he would also make a way through the new land where he was leading them. But there were two obstacles, and that was the river, and that was the enemies. But it would require faith to remain in obedience to God. Because faith requires you to take a step. We've got to move with God. And that is what they did. So something I found interesting about the story is that God did not split the water and provide dry ground to walk across until the priests carrying the ark put their feet into the water. And their demonstration of faith, the leaders that they chose to carry the presence of God, it was their demonstration of faith. They put their feet into the river, ankle deep in the Jordan. And it was the catalyst for God to do amazing things. Because faith requires a first step. So as we're talking about the steps of faith, what is God wanting us to step out in faith before we're going to see his work in our lives? Something. What are you asking God to do in your life right now? For the Israelites, they were believing God for the promised land of blessing and rest, a place where they could be set apart for him. Maybe God is asking you to move past some sin that's held you captive. Or maybe God is wanting you to serve someone in need in the community. You may feel scared because it's a hard thing to do. You may see a list of obstacles in your way. But what if God is just asking you to take one initial step? I think the difficulty that we get into is that we want to see all the steps. We want to know the end from the beginning. Even though God is asking us to do something, it's like we can come up with a lot of excuses why we're not going to be able to do it or able to accomplish it. But what if he's just asking you to take one step? Because what we have learned in ministry over the last 26 years is when we're faithful to take that one step, God begins to provide the next step. I like to see the whole plan. I'm a planner. I like to plan ahead. But that is not how it always works. And you can plan ahead, and probably several of you have done this, planned ahead, and then God changed the plan. And so you spend all this time thinking about, oh, it should be this way and this way and that way, and then this is going to happen, and everything changes. Have you ever experienced that? So if we will just take one step at a time in faith of what God is asking us to do, you know, it is a great adventure. I told Leonard, I said, I don't know why we stayed in religion for so long, because when you walk with the Holy Spirit and you follow the voice of the Lord, it is the greatest adventure that you will ever go on. Hallelujah. And you know what? I doubt if the floodwaters were crystal clear when they put their feet in there. You know, if they were floodwaters, it was probably pretty dirty when they stepped in there. So they really couldn't even see what they were stepping into. Like Madeline couldn't see what she was falling back to. But God, he wants us to take that step of faith. I had a friend that had come to church. Actually, she was an employee in my business. And she came to church and she received a prophetic word. And the prophetic word was she was going to go through a situation with her husband that she was going to feel like she was falling in the air. But God wanted her to know he was going to catch her. And so she grew up Catholic and she had never had a prophetic word before. And that kind of rattled her because she was like, what in the world does this thing mean? But since she was an employee, I could pray with her. We could trust God that when that event got there, even though she felt like she was free falling, God was going to catch her and the situation. And it ended up her husband got pneumonia, and they lived in a small town, and there wasn't really, the hospital didn't have the capacity to take care of the kind of pneumonia that he had. And so the doctor told her, though, that he was in such bad shape that he didn't think he should move. He should move him as a patient on into South Bend to Memorial Hospital because he didn't think that he would make the move. And so she called me and said, what am I going to do? And I said, I wonder if this is that situation that God was talking to you about, that you're going to feel like you're free falling, but God wants you to know that he's going to catch you in the end. And I said, let's pray. Let's get the word of the Lord. What does he want you to do? And so as we prayed, she got peace in her heart that she was supposed to move her husband on into Memorial Hospital. And so that is what they did. And when they moved him, Leonard and I met them at the hospital to pray for him as he got there. And when we got there and we laid hands on him, his body was already cold and felt marbled. When somebody begins to die, the blood stops circulating through them, their temperature drops, and their skin and their body just gets hard and cold. And he was already in that state. And we prayed for him. We prayed for the doctors. And we believed for that miracle. And you know, God divinely turned that entire situation around. And that was over 20 years ago. And he is still alive today. That's the power of God. When we don't know what's going to happen, if we'll just take that step of faith and trust the Lord, he will see us through because he is faithful. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Woo! Yes, thank you, Lord, for your miracle-working power. In Joshua 3:17, it says, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Something that we need to realize is faith and works go together, and your step of faith could be a blessing to somebody else. You know, the faith that we had in the Word of God transferred to this employee, and she got on fire for what God was speaking to her and believed the Word of the Lord. So our faith spread. Faith is contagious. When you trust the Lord and you share of his goodness, it's contagious. People catch it. We want them to catch that. Right? You know, when you keep that to yourself, it's like wearing a mask. You know, everyone was wearing masks because of not catching COVID. However, we want to make sure that our mouths are open, that we're speaking, that we're right out there with what God can do in someone's life. Have faith for that. It's contagious. You never know what's going to ignite someone's fire. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So your step of faith can bless others. William Booth said this about faith and blessing. He said, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, then works, and then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is one and which is the other. So God wants us to have faith, but faith without works is dead. It's dead. It says that in James 2:14-18. And that's on the PowerPoint. So let's go ahead and read it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. If we're going to show someone our faith by our deeds, then that means we're taking some steps of action so that they can see it in action. Your step of faith leads to a step of action. So once again, I'm just going to challenge you. What is the next step God is asking you to take? It might not come clear to you today, but I believe God's going to speak that into our hearts, because each one of us have been called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said that once you receive the Holy Ghost, power comes upon you to be a witness. What is the next step God's asking you to take? Are you procrastinating? Are you putting it off? But God wants to speak to us. And like I said, if it's not clear right this minute, it will become clear. Why? Because we believe that's the word of the Lord. Do you believe that's the word of the Lord? God withholds nothing from his children. And so our hearts need to open up to receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has. And don't run off and do something crazy. You should always get counsel from your leaders. Is that right? Right. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. If you're making major life-changing decisions, it's always good to get godly counsel. And we have a leadership team here that is willing to counsel with you. And so in closing, I just wanted to share one more thing. And that is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. It's not complicated. It is simple. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and this isn't on the PowerPoint, but I felt the Lord drop this in my spirit this morning when I was praying. The scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And here he's sharing what he shared with them. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received." Here's the gospel: that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. What I want you to notice about this is, twice Paul says, it's according to the scriptures. The gospel is according to the scripture. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Now, there were witnesses of Jesus Christ, but the authority, get this, I believe as we move forward in our lives in this season, the authority is in the scripture. If you believe this, then you have faith in the Son of God. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the gospel message, the scripture says, you will be saved. So the gospel message isn't given unless you give it according to the scripture. Don't give a watered-down version of the gospel. Just give it according to the scripture. The scripture is spirit and it's life. And the scripture, the word of God, performs what it's sent out to do. And so as you're talking to people, become wise users of the word of God and learn how to give the gospel message according, say it with me, according to the scripture. There are so many doctrines and philosophies of men. We talked about it last week. We have to be wise with the scripture. Students of the word, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. We are called to do that, every single one of us, not just the pastors, not just the teachers, but we're all called to be able to do that. And if you put that effort forth, I'm telling you, God is going to bless you more than you can even imagine. When you begin to read the word, it is just going to illuminate to you, because God wants you to understand. He wants you to understand. And in closing, what step of faith do you need to take today? God's speaking to you. And if you want to take a step, or if you want to know what that step might be, I do have just a simple prayer for you to pray. So if you'd like to, just pray this along with me. Let's put our hand on our heart. Heavenly Father, help me trust you with every opportunity you place in my way. Give me your mind and your heart. as I walk out my faith each day. I know that at times I may feel afraid, but help me boldly follow you for my sake and for the sake of those around me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for men and women of faith. It just takes one father to have faith in God to change an entire family and to begin to see the rest of his family change. It just takes one spouse to trust in God, to pray for the other spouse, to see that spouse turn around and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It just takes one who has been delivered from the powers of darkness, from addiction and alcoholism and abuse. It just takes one testimony from one person to reach another person. It's all about people-to-people contact. It's all about the words of your mouth and the testimony that comes out of you and the demonstration of your life that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we can trust him. So that's where we put our faith today. And somebody say amen. And is the praise team up there? They're coming. Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forth. We thank you, Father, that you've planted seeds in our heart. And God, we trust you to continue to water them. Lord, that you continue to teach us. And Lord, that we continue to trust you, Lord, with our lives. And Lord, with each step that we take. Lord, that we stay in step with you. Lord, regardless of the occupation you've called us to, regardless of what we do in the marketplace, Lord, we know that we are ministers in the marketplace. So, Lord, anoint the ministers in the marketplace, Lord, as they go step by step with you, as they go about caring about their business, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you carry about the Father's business within the business, Lord. We thank you for kingdom businesses. We thank you for kingdom people, for kingdom-minded people, Lord, that walk by faith and not by sight. And we thank you for it, Lord. Do mighty works in our lives, God. Mighty works, Lord. Those that are believing for miracles right now, we thank you, Lord. We join together in prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're breaking through in these situations, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit that's working in each one of us, Lord, as we step with you in faith, Lord, that you will complete the work that you have started in us. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church said, amen. Amen.